Numbers chapter 11, verses 24 to 30. The Lord's power. God has been making these promises. Now comes the time when he will perform. Verses 16 to 17, he has promised the Spirit to come upon these elders. Now, in these verses 24 to 30, the Spirit does descend. It's a most extraordinary experience. The 70 elders around the tent standing. Then the Lord came down in the cloud and spoke with Moses, and he took of the Spirit that was on Moses and put the Spirit on the 70 elders. When the Spirit rested on them, they prophesied, and so on. A tremendous, extraordinary visitation of God by his Spirit. And then these two men, Eldad and Medad, who had remained in the camp, these had been selected for the eldership, the leadership among the Israelites, but they didn't go out for some reason to the tent of meeting. The commentators have a field day on this, speculating about why they didn't come. It's all speculation. They were chosen, but they were not present. It's an extraordinary thing, but the Spirit fell on them in the camp. I wouldn't make much of an application of it, because we're given no information. It's just an extraordinary thing. But the Spirit fell upon these two men. Joshua is desperately concerned at this, verse 28. Stop them. They should be out here with you. But Moses makes a tremendously important reply. But Moses replied, verse 29, "Are you jealous for my sake? I wish that all the Lord's people were prophets, and that the Lord would put his Spirit on them," and so on. It's a staggering reply, a remarkable reply, and how fully it is met in the New Covenant. Of course, all the people in the New Covenant, all believers, have the Spirit. And all are prophets, all are priests, in the spiritual sense. We are not apostles and prophets and priests in the sense of the original apostles or the prophets and the priests of the Old Covenant, but we are spiritual prophets, spiritual priests, spiritual kings unto Christ. And Moses wished it. Well, in the days of the New Covenant, it is ours. And of course, the statement, the priesthood of all believers, appears in all, practically all church confessions. But it's a museum piece, is it not? It's relegated to the museum. As I've shown in books I've written on the subject, the reformers didn't understand the priesthood of all believers. They limited it far too much. And today we're still suffering from that. We don't experience the priesthood of all believers as we should. How little enjoyed. What a loss it is to us all. But what we have here is so important. Here we are in the days of the Old Covenant, Israel in the wilderness, and the descent of the power of the Spirit. Well, if we can't see the application to us in the New Covenant, we must be blind indeed. 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. Paul says, "I was determined to know nothing but Jesus Christ and him crucified. And I preached him, and it was in the demonstration of the Spirit and of the Spirit's power." 1 Corinthians 2, 1-5. How important the anointing of God's Spirit upon us all, upon preachers of the gospel, and that's not just limited to pulpit work, but all the prophets of the Lord. And I mean by that all believers, priesthood of all believers, exercising by the Spirit of God this power. How we need it, not by might, Zechariah 4:6, not by might, but by my Spirit, says the Lord. Not by schemes. Today, of course, we've got schemes, we've got plans. Moses didn't scheme this. It was a sovereign descent of the Spirit. And that's the answer today. I don't say we sit idly around doing nothing. We go on laboring. But unless God descends by his Spirit, unless he equips us, unless he enables us, unless he uses us, then nothing will be done. How can our conversations, how can our preachings, how can our writings, How can our prayers do anything unless God's Spirit is in it? But God has promised to give us His Spirit. Remember, Jesus says to the disciples, "You wait here until you are endued with power. Don't go until you have power." This is what He said in the very early days of the gospel. I wouldn't push these extraordinary things too far, but you see Acts chapter 2, the Pentecost day, tremendous descent of God's Spirit in power. Again and again you get it in Acts. Samaria with Cornelius, and again in Europe you get the descent of the Spirit, the power of the Spirit, the energy of the Spirit working, thrusting the gospel out. Oh, we need it today too. As I say, we've replacing the Spirit. Oh, I know we talk about the Spirit, but we can replace the Spirit with our schemes and plans and ideas and setups. We can arrange everything. We can arrange a revival. No, we can't. We can arrange all these schemes. No, we can't. We can arrange the schemes. But what we need is regeneration by the Spirit, edification by the Spirit, God's glorification by the Spirit. That's what we need. And only God's Spirit in His Word working among us can do this. This is a signal blessing for Moses. "I have made my promises," said God, "now." Remember previous discourse. The Lord answered Moses, "Is the Lord's arm too short? You will now see whether or not what I say will come true for you." May God descend. And as Cowper, I think it is, says, "Make a thousand hearts your own." Oh, may God come in His power and bless and use and help us. May He use this little discourse. May the days of the Lord's power come back among us again, and may we see evidences of it in His mighty working. The Lord's power. We don't want proper sermons. We want powerful sermons. May we see the days of the Lord's power again. Amen.